William, thank you for joining us on a very sad moment tonight.
Thank you for having me, George. It is indeed a sad night, and I want to pay our respects to Lawrence's family and all his friends out there, his millions of fans who loved his work as we did. So thank you again.
When I last talked to him, he seemed fine. What happened?
Well, you would never know. Lawrence was such a brave and strong guy and proud man. He never wanted any of his colleagues even to know that he was ill. But past 5 years, he had gone through a series of various surgeries, had a kind of a neurological issue that is what started it, and it took him out of the public view. And he struggled with the physical deterioration, but mentally he was as sharp as ever. I mean, as you know, he could just literally just enthrall you with his ideas, his concepts, his research, and that was his passion. And that it was his wife Angela told me that throughout his illness, it was his writing that kept him alive. He willed himself to live so that he could complete various projects. In fact, he had recently, just within weeks ago, just completed his latest book called The Origin of God, which he had hoped to publish later this fall.
Will that get published?
I hope so. I've expressed to Angela that I'll do anything. I'd be grateful to do anything I can to make sure that that book and the ideas in it get to the destination that Lawrence had in mind.
William, if that happens, we would love to get you on as a guest representing Lawrence Gardner.
Oh, I'd be honored to do that, George. Thank you so much.
And just consider that done if you can get that published. I got to tell you, I mean, when we heard about this from you this morning, I was shocked. You know, we just lost Glenn Kimball, another great guest of ours, who died of liver disease. And now this, right on the heels of that. And as you know, several years ago, Eugene Malov died as he was investigating how to get zero-point energy and cold fusion. It just seems way too common and really tells you just how quickly life goes by.
That's it. And that's one of the things I was reflecting on is that I've kept in touch with Lawrence over the years and have been talking with him as recently as just a few weeks ago and hope to see him. I was in England back in May and I was going to be near where he lived and was making an effort to come see him. Unfortunately, he had a family obligation. His son, James, had recently graduated from university. And so they had family plans for that. And it just takes you away when you realize, gosh, you're not going to get many opportunities. You have to live today. This might be it. And you just every day have to, when the boots hit the boards, get up with that attitude, don't you?
Yeah, really, really do. I remember the show I did with him when he was talking about the white powder of gold and all the incredible properties of this. And since then, other guests have talked about this as well. How long has he been interested in this? All his career? He did this?
No, and it's a fascinating story, George. Lawrence's first book, Bloodline of the Holy Grail, which was a blockbuster, international bestseller, was published in 1996. Before that, Lawrence was in the business of restoring old masterworks, and he would often tell the story that he found himself in these extraordinary manor homes, restoring master paintings owned by various families throughout England. And inevitably, they would say, well, do you know anything about genealogy? Because we've got these books over here. And so Lawrence, just out of casual interest and to flatter or just to his own curiosity, would start looking into these books. And before he knew it, he's tracing this bloodline back into ancient Palestine. And that became the basis for Bloodline of the Holy Grail. He says that one night he was at a party and talking with a book publisher, and the book publisher says, you know, that sounds like a great idea for a book. And Lawrence is like, really? I'm getting ready to retire from my present occupation. Maybe I'll take a stab at writing that book. And he did. Sold millions of copies of that book.
Oh, he was fascinating on the air. I mean, he got into the subject matter as good as anybody who has been on this program. And really made it understanding for all of us. And
And
he made it exciting.
Yeah, nobody could touch Lawrence as a presenter. Again, on the Bloodline of the Holy Grail story, he tells me that I was the first researcher that contacted him after that book came out. And so we became instant and fast friends. I, in fact, had come over to an event in London in 1996 to hear Lawrence give a presentation. And he was so courteous and cordial. He made sure that I was taken care of and set up there and everything. And it became really readily apparent that this guy was a master communicator. He was a cut above many of the other well-known speakers and well-respected speakers at this event. And he just set the bar so high, whether he was doing the interviews in terms of his ability to articulate his research and get and reveal his passion and share that passion, or whether he was on the presentation stage taking you into these stories, that he was such a master. He was a true magician with the words, with the written language.
What is it about him that you liked? You attached yourself to him. You became friends with him. What was it?
It was his easy way, and the way he was so supportive and encouraging. Sometimes the UK authors, not to separate them out, but they can be pretty competitive guys, and they don't just want to prove you wrong, your thesis, your theory, your ideas. They want to kill you. They want to drill you into the ground. And Lawrence wasn't that way at all. Lawrence was one who would say, well, now, William, you know, that's a really interesting idea, but let's talk about this a little bit further. And he just always would provide that extra level of encouragement to say, hey, you know, let's go have a beer, a steak, and some fries and talk about this.
Was this death, even though, as you said, he didn't tell many people about this, his wife, of course, knew, did they see this coming?
I think Lawrence saw this coming 5 years ago when he was diagnosed with this rare disorder. He knew then that...
Just didn't know when,
and he was always... he was always writing saying, oh, well, we've got another surgery and we hope things go well, might be improved by spring. And then spring had come and he'd say, well, the problem is now we've got this issue going on, so there's another surgery. So he was going through these series of surgeries that were constantly testing his mettle. And I think he knew all along it was simply a matter of time.